The passage this morning was chosen by Justin and Mariska, Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know full well. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The title of my message this morning, God Does the Most Excellent Work. And if the PowerPointist would put up the picture, Congregation of Our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning I want to show you a picture that hangs in my office at home. It hung in my office in Red Deer and in Rimby, as I serve those congregations. It's not by a name brand artist or anything. It's not, you know, by anybody famous. But it was given to me by my wife Kathy and our children after the service in which I was ordained to be a pastor in the Christian Reformed Church. And that was just a few years ago. Nah. My family presented me this work of art in honor of my ordination as a pastor, as well as to remind me who I am in Christ. And I'll say more about the details of this painting a little bit later. Just we'll leave it on for a moment so you can take it in a little bit. There's a lot of images and metaphors in there. But it's something beautiful, something meaningful to me, created by an artist. And I think in a similar way, the Bible presents God as the creator of all things in the early chapters of the book of Genesis. And I just want to suggest to you this morning that God is the most magnificent artist that there is. Think about that for a moment. Think about what God has done in his expansive creation with all the intimate details to it. The large parts of the canvas called the universe were filled in with incredible things for us to view. And the fine parts of our little world were so finely tuned so as to be held together with a peace and a harmony. In fact, through God's creative power and providence, there was a fourfold harmony that prevailed all through creation. There existed harmony throughout the created order itself. There was harmony between God and his people. There was harmony between people. And there was harmony within ourselves. The picture we get of this creation in the Genesis creation account is one of the fullness and of completeness of the artist creating a masterpiece. In all this, we see God's creative powers went far beyond the expansive galaxies in the heavens, the wondrously rugged mountain peaks, the amazing deep and wide oceans, the picturesque prairies, the hills and the valleys of this earth. After his labor of creating these each day, God stepped back from his canvas of creation, and his repeated refrain was the same, that he declared that it was good. On the sixth day, then God said this, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and all over the creatures that move on the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. With this creative act, humanity was imprinted with the image of the triune God. This can be said of no other creature in the entire creation. The uniqueness and the speciality of humanity is clear right from the very beginning. Within each person is the likeness of God himself. In this, we were created to be as the Trinity, in vital relationship. This is a crucial point. Likeness of God and harmony within was intended from the very beginning. Our text verses from Psalm 139 express this concept in lofty terms. There the psalmist says, "For you, O God, created my inmost being." That is dynamically who we really are. "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know full well." The truth of which we all need reminding this morning is that our identity, that is who we are, originates from God Himself. He is the one who created our first parents, Adam and Eve. He is the one who was intimately involved in the conception, that is, the creating of each one of us. He is the one who defines our true identity as image bearers of Himself. This truth needs to seep deeply into our consciousness as human beings. We don't earn our identity, nor can we buy it. We all receive our identity by our association with someone who is greater than ourselves. Who we are, then, is what God has chosen to make us, even before we were born. In doing so, He has already endowed us with enormous and everlasting value. We don't have to gain value. We don't have to earn value. We are of great value to God. In this, we need to realize our true identity, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, many people wander this planet wondering who they are. Oftentimes, it's been consistent in my career that after high school or college, some of my young people, young adults, go abroad to find themselves, as it were. It's as if the person that they are is not who they truly are. Many young people feel the need to wander the country or the continents, hoping against hope that somewhere they may find themselves, as if their parents mislaid their child's real self and identity while they were on a trip many years before. If things were not so serious for so many people, it might almost sound funny. No doubt maybe even some people here this morning have gone on just such an expedition to find themselves with questions like these. Who am I? What makes me me? What makes me special and or unique or not? What gives me value or worth? Who would want to love me? Does anybody love me? Questions and more questions, the real stuff of life. It's with these kinds of questions that many people begin their adult life quest. The problem is that all too often, both young people as well as old go looking in all the wrong places for our identity. For many, the disharmony experienced through bullying, through broken family or personal relationships, through various physical and as well as mental issues, they make us all feel lost and broken. The harmony that God established in the beginning has been horribly disfigured by the fall into sin. In Genesis 3, verse 8, we are told that God came looking for the first couple in the cool of the day. Now imagine that for a moment, that God comes to us and would invite us to walk with Him in the cool of the day. What a thing that would be. But of course, the bond was broken. It was broken by sin. And that sin has certain consequences. You know, with a conception of every human being, that is, that has been, that ever will be, therein is the image of God. Every single humanity, believer, unbeliever, Jew, Gentile, to use Paul's phrase, slave or free, all are endowed with the image of God. In contrast, our culture at times assures us that certain things or objects will, or certain accomplishments will help us find the value in this world. And it follows like this: if we make ourselves beautiful on the outside, we will be valued. Maybe we will even be on the cover of a magazine for, well, maybe at least a month. If we become popular, then people will flock to see and hear us. That is, until someone more interesting or more shocking comes along. If we earn more money than others, then people will look up to us. Of course, when the money runs out, that's another matter. Friends then disappear quickly. Then again, maybe if we wear the right clothes, we will be valued. Yes, that may be it. If children, teenagers, or adults wear just the right brands of clothing, they will find their identity. Many people think and hope that it could be so. Maybe if we get lots of education, if we speak better, if we get physically stronger, will be of greater value to others. Maybe if we look just handsome enough, or we go to the right parties, or have the right friends, or just look busy, we'll be okay. Well, you begin to get the picture. Our day and age offers a lot of substitutes which might supply some temporary level of self-satisfaction, but ultimately all these things fall by the wayside. When they are gone, people will be left empty-handed, and the result of even a short lifetime of lostness can have a disastrous result, as it did in Littleton, Colorado in 1999. Littleton, Colorado, 1999. Maybe some of the younger ones don't remember, of course, but certainly those who are 40 and above could. I'll give you a hint. The name of the high school in Littleton, Colorado is Columbine. See, two young men could not find their identity in anything, and so they decided to leave a mark on their society. And so they killed 13 of their fellow students, and a teacher as well. And maybe for a day or two here in Canada, we thought that we may be so far above such a thing, that only happened south of the border. But then only 8 days later, a similar tragedy played itself out in Tabor, Alberta. The effects of a broken, sinful, disharmonious world simply play havoc. In this, we marvel at a God who knows our inmost being. He created our DNA and fashioned every fiber, every nerve, every muscle, every bone in our bodies. Yet we are sometimes shocked to tears. So many do not know the God who formed us in the secret place. So many are wearied and burdened that they see no future and seek to make an end of their being or that of their unborn child within. Disharmony abounds around us everywhere all the time. We all need to be reminded of the miracle, yes, the miracle that comes with the birth of every child, every person. And we also know that while many are born well and whole, many are also scarred, even in the womb or in life, with maladies as a result of this broken world. Yet in all this, the psalmist reminds us that God is the most excellent at his work. He has carefully formed us and nurtured us to be who we are. In this, we need to claim our personhood and our identity in God. We, each one of us, needs to fully come to the one who comes from God himself into the world. Our true identity, our true self, can only be found in a relationship to Jesus. That is what God endowed upon us by making us in his image, that we could be in relationship not just to others, not just to ourselves, but in relationship to God Almighty and the creation around us. The Apostle John reminds us this way, yet all who have received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Isn't it amazing to see the children up here when we do a baptism? I just love that part of my ministry. I get to call the kids up and they're all looking at the baby. It's amazing, isn't it? Someday there's parents here who hope their children will work alongside them. They'll labor with them. They'll do things together. And then as parents, we hope we can launch our kids well into the world, that they'll do well. Paul goes on to talk about that we are God's workmanship in Ephesians chapter 2. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God already has a plan for us to be able to fulfill the goodness that he has endowed us with. In Romans 8, verse 17, the Apostle Paul pointed out, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And with our believing in Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are also sharing in something much greater than ourselves. The Apostle Peter put it this way in his second chapter of his first letter. He said, so then you are a chosen people, you are a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. These are but a sample of the passages that the Bible declares to reinforce the concept that we can find out our true identity in God. As many people search the world for philosophies and methods which might define them, the one true God of heaven and earth waits for us to claim that which is already ours as his image bearers in this world. I'll ask for the picture to be put up again. When God first created mankind, he declared that what he had created was good. He made us in his own image, and that's something, isn't it? Every artwork bears some stamp of the artist. That's why I like my painting so much. The biblical motifs are hard to miss. God is still at work within me and on me. God continues to use the word, that is the sword, to chip away at the dross in my life and slowly reveals a multifaceted diamond within me, Christ with me. The hands of God take the material chipped off and are used by the potter, as in the book of Jeremiah, to mold and shape a useful vessel. And the tree planted by living waters, reminds us of Psalm 1, of how our God brings life to those who follow in his ways and his law. The leaves are a result of being fed and watered by the Almighty so as to live a righteous life in Christ. Notice I did not say a perfect life. I nor anyone else are righteous in and of ourselves. We must all live life in dependence on the work of our Savior within us. Since our inmost being was created by God, and it was he who made you and me what we are, we can give constant and continual praise for what he has done and what he continues to do within us. God is still at work within us, and never forget, he does excellent work. We are his masterpieces. Yes, indeed, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And lest we forget, as the painting reminds, it is the blood of Jesus that makes all of this possible. As Jesus' blood was shed on the cross, so it is for the healing of not just me, but for all the people of this world as well. The Apostle John has already seen the reality of this. He has already seen the reality in his words found in the Revelation. John said, I saw and then I heard, because you, that is Jesus, were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. We are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, each one of us is a great work of art. God, the greatest artist, will continue to shape us and to mold us into his people. And we, one and all, are the result of his most excellent work. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, there is no artist like you in all of the cosmos. You alone embedded into us your image, so that we could be in relationship to you, that we could find harmony in our lives that are often shifted back and forth and up and down in a sinful and broken world. We praise your name. Bless the Lord for having given us your image and continuing the work of refining us and shaping us and molding us and feeding us as you continue to do so each and every day of our lives. Help us to be that kingdom of priests, a nation of people who have been called out of darkness into a wonderful light, into the light of Christ, and to share that light with all those around us. Lord, we think of many people whose lives have fallen on hard times, whose challenges are many, both health and physical, mental, with maladies that seem incurable. But yet, each and every one of us is an image bearer of God. And so we bless them. We love them. We encourage them. We come alongside them. And we show them you in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be your witnesses in this to all the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.